with Psalm 23, it's interesting to read commentaries of people who talk about this. Seems like words are inadequate to express the grandeur of what is written here. And to get into this psalm, you have to have an imagination and think of young David as a shepherd sitting there under that tree, looking out over the valley and watching those sheep, and thinking about the beauty of the sky and all that is there, and saying, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, or I shall be satisfied, or I am content. He meets my needs." Well, I thought it would be good for us this morning. We'll spend several weeks in this psalm, but to have a general introduction about the relationships with God and his people, which are mentioned throughout Scripture, and then get to the shepherd and the sheep. For instance, one of the great illustrations or expressions of relationship is that of the groom and the bride. That Christ is the groom and the church is his bride, and we're to think about that relationship and study that from Ephesians 5, where it speaks of Christ being the head of the church and the husband the head of the wife, as Christ is head of the church. So the marriage relationship reveals the relationship between Christ and his people. Another prominent biblical statement is about the head and the body, especially in 1 Corinthians 14, where he is the head of the church, which is his body, and we are members of his church. And every local church needs to be headed in that direction where he is the head, we are the body. And every member of the body is important. And that is a striking illustration. Another one we have is given in Peter about a building and spiritual stones put into that temple. That Christ is the chief cornerstone, the foundation. And the Lord puts living stones into his building, into his temple. And every stone is important in that building. And every stone that he has chosen will be in that building. You can't have God in the eternal picture of things in heaven saying, "Somebody's missing. We miss somebody." No, never. Every elect child of God will be there, a living stone in the building. Another striking revelation is in John 15 about the vine and the branches. The vine, the center, and the branches springing out, bearing fruit. I am the vine, you are the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. Absolutely nothing. There is nothing of eternal or spiritual value that can come from a human being apart from being inhabited by the Holy Spirit, who is producing spiritual fruit. Now, we tend to say that verse, without Without me, we can do just a few things. No, we can do nothing. The vine and the branches. And then another illustration of the relationship with the Lord and his people, of course, his father and children. I've talked to some people recently who have asked me about Adam and his relationship to God and so on. And didn't he have it great before he sinned? Well, there was a certain fellowship with God. But you and I have it better. Adam was never born into the family of God. Adam was not a son of God as we are. Born from above, in God's family. Behold what manner of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. Now, no matter what takes place in life, that should be healing and comforting and satisfying. We are in the family of God. And then the relationship that we'll consider for a while, the shepherd and the sheep. Throughout the Old Testament, certainly paramount in the New Testament, and very vividly described in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, we're not going to get into the details of the psalm this morning, but let me make a suggestion, an assignment for you. We began in Psalm 1, and David says, favored or blessed is the person who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, or stand with sinners, or sit with the scornful. But his delight is in the law or the word of God. And in his word he does meditate day and night. And it seems to me that meditation is a lost art in our day. We don't think. We're entertained people. We're spectators while somebody else entertains us. Meditation. Now here's an opportunity for you to meditate this week with these words. The Lord is my shepherd. Every word is important. The, T-H-E, definite article. Doesn't say, a Lord is my shepherd. Very definitive. We'll take each word and see what it is grammatically. The Lord, who is he? He is with certainty. We're not playing games here. He's my shepherd. Do it this week. It'll be a great, great help in your life. We meditate in the word of God, the shepherd. Well, what is a shepherd? It's interesting that in the New Testament, the word pastor and the word shepherd translated from the same Greek word. A pastor is a shepherd. The shepherd is a pastor. Does Jesus fit? Shepherd? Yes, he does. So we're going to look at three things in the New Testament together now, whereas he is called the Good Shepherd, the Great Shepherd, and the Chief Shepherd. Beginning with the good, you need not turn to it now, but you might want to write it down for future reference. It's John 10, the verses we read this morning. where Jesus directly said, I am the good shepherd. As opposed to what? The bad. The imposter. Who runs and lets the sheep, the sheep taken by wolves. The good shepherd doesn't. He is willing to sacrifice his life for the sheep. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. If you're a parent, you're a shepherd. And that means giving your life. Whether you want to say it this way or not, the fact is that children take our life. They demand everything that's within us. And I can say to people, if you're not willing to give your life, never become a parent. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Now, in Hebrews, we have a statement about the great shepherd. Hebrews 13. And we'll turn to that. In Hebrews 13, verses 20 and 21, we have a sort of a benediction by the author of the Hebrews as he's closing out the letter and pronouncing a blessing upon the people. Hebrews 13, verse 20. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete or mature or perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. The great shepherd is the one who's risen from the dead. The good shepherd gives his life, but that's not the end of it. He's the risen shepherd. He's alive. And this blessing is pronounced through him. Now we turn to the chief shepherd, as spoken of by Peter, 1 Peter 5:4. In 1 Peter 5:4, we read, well, let's begin at verse 1 of chapter 5. The elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd or pastor the flock of God which is among you, not as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, not as lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Good shepherd gives his life. Great shepherd risen from the dead. Chief shepherd coming again. What a shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Now this psalm is going to delineate what he actually does as a shepherd. Causes us to lie down with his provision of pastures. Leads beside still waters. restores our soul when we have drifted. It was interesting, yesterday a young man came to install our TV deal, and he was working away. I asked him where he lived and so on. I said, well, where do you get to church down there? Now, that's a leading question, and I've trapped him, because most people don't know what to say unless they're into it. Or they can say, well, my uncle used to teach Sunday school, or my grandpa was. But this fellow said, yeah, I go to church in Escondido and so on. And then he opened up to tell me about his life. Said that when he was a young man, he remembers being saved, but then he dropped out. And later on, when he became an adult, he met a good woman. And she got him going to church, and he came back to the Lord. And he was so thankful that he was restored. And here, this is what the Lord does. He restores my soul. And Socrates said, if you find a good wife, you find a good thing. If you get a bad wife, you'll become a philosopher. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if his wife heard him say that, but this young man found a good wife, and he has been restored. He's so thankful. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. If you say, I want the shepherd to lead me, where will he lead you? He'll lead you in paths of righteousness. Won't lead you into the dirt of this world. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even there, he's there, I'll fear no evil. He has a rod of correction and a staff of comfort. He even provides for us in the midst of our enemies. My cup runs over. Did any of you read the Register sport page this morning? Or maybe I've got it wrong, but one caption I read, big letters, my cup runneth over, from the soccer game yesterday. I thought that was good. All the days of my life. Well, surely goodness, mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know what surely goodness and mercy are? They're the hound dogs of heaven. Just won't let you alone. They're going to follow you. So if you feel like somebody's on your shoulder, it's the hound dogs of heaven, goodness and mercy. Now let's summarize this. What is a shepherd? A shepherd is a servant. If we don't get that, we miss the Bible. A shepherd is a servant. Peter wrote about leadership. How do you lead? By being a tyrant and a dictatorial person? No. In humility and example to the flock. And all of us have a flock of people and neighbors and family who are around us. Jesus is the epitome of servanthood. He didn't have to. He's king. He could do anything he wanted to do, anytime he wanted to do it, with anybody he wanted to do it to. And he gave himself as a servant. Now you say, Bill, how do you know that? Well, if you feel like it, turn to Mark chapter 10. And we find an amazing passage of scripture about human pride among the disciples. Beginning at verse 35 of Mark chapter 10. Mark 10:35, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him and said, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. that real prayer? No. And he said to them, what do you want me to do for you? And they said to him, grant us that we may sit one on your right hand and the other on your left in your glory. Now, he denied that, but just think, if he had said yes, then they would have had a big argument over who's going to be on the right and who's going to be on the left, and you'd have Cain killing Abel, or James killing John, or something. 38. Jesus said, you don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup or experience what I'm going through? Or to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with, that is the cross. But to sit on my right hand, my left hand is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be greatly displeased with James and John. Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. Whoever desires to be great or a leader among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave or servant of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many, which, by the way, is the first to believe in the limited atonement. It didn't say for the whole world. So, camping on that a shepherd is a servant, he fits. Now, what does he do? Summarizing, what does a servant do? Well, he guides. He's a guide. Takes us where we're supposed to be. We count on him for that. The shepherd's a protector, because the sheep have no defense. Now, sheep are about the most interesting animal in all the world to study. And there's a book by Philip Keller on the shepherd looks at Psalm 23 or something. His theology is lousy. Well, you take that word out. His theology is unbecoming, we'll say. But he's a sheep rancher, and what he knows about that is awesome. Sheep are defenseless, need a protector. The shepherd is a healer, because sheep have a terrible time with disease, with insects. And the oil the shepherd uses is a healing part. He is a provider. He goes to a lot of trouble to take these sheep to green pastures, nice, soft grass to eat and to lie down in. Have you ever been out in the country and looked out at a meadow with some rather tall grass? You just wanted to go out there and lie down for the rest of your life. Look up at the sky and just bask in the sunshine of God's glory. That's what I think about here with these green pastures. And then he takes them to still waters, because sheep are so afraid of a running stream, they won't drink. They need this kind of rest. In verse 1, we read, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And we could translate to say, the Lord is my shepherd and I am satisfied. I am content with that. He's enough for me. I have peace because he is my shepherd. He came to serve us in this way, and we need to respond. What could our response possibly be this morning in the light of the truths of the scriptures we've looked at? Well, the Bible says that he took our place. He took our punishment of hell that we deserve. He took my place. I deserve to go to hell forever. I am sinful. He took that for me, my place. God gave his love to us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. Now, what happens? We are saved and we are here. He left and we are here in his place. Paul says that's ambassadors. An ambassador is a representative of a king or a president to a foreign country, taking the place, representing. You and I are here this morning, walking and living on this earth as a Christian in his place. And that is a great, great privilege. It's also a responsibility of looking at this passage of Scripture and take his place. And the way we can do that is to say this morning, I am servant. Who are you? Servant. Servant. His and ours. I am your servant, you're my servant. We're in this thing together. Well, I have to look at my life and I say, how can I serve? Since the beginning of time, human beings have been made up of children, youth, and adults. And still that way. So you can look at these categories of life and say, where and how can I serve? How are you serving the children of our church? How long has it been since you signed up to teach the children? To do anything. Church is not to come to sit and soak. Church is to worship and be inspired to serve. What are you doing to serve the young people in our church who desperately need us? Desperately need our attention and our input and our prayer. Call one of the young people in our church this afternoon and say, hello, what can I pray for you about? What are you doing for the adults? Have you encouraged anyone lately? Have you come alongside as a brother or a sister? Are you willing to be this morning a servant and put some feet on it? And don't go through this day without some definite plan to fulfill that. And start today. After the service, maybe someone could say, I'll take care of the kids and go outside so the rest of you can visit. then we don't have pandemonium. Think about that. Serving. Now, Spurgeon has a thing for July 7th in the morning. Brethren, pray for us. And he speaks about the special prayers for people in church leadership and the kind of ministry that is. It's the most difficult role on this earth. It isn't all, because people get up front and speak. It sounds glamorous. It isn't glamorous. I'm still scared to death after 45 years. Pray for the leaders. Pray for me. Every day. Be a servant. Enjoy it. But respond to the scripture. You know, as a pastor, it's 24 hours a day. You never stop thinking about the scripture, the Lord, and people. And I have problems with, quote, casual Christians. How can there be a casual attitude about heaven and hell? How can anything be casual about the Lord God Almighty? Can't be. Something wrong. I have problems with those who appear to be a part-time Christian. When it's easy or it fits my schedule. But the least difficulty comes and I'll cop out a little. I have problems with Christians who are only receiving, never giving. It's not real. And the interesting thing about that is there's greater happiness and joy in giving. I have problems with Christians who won't volunteer. See, why don't we grow up? Why does somebody have to tell us and prod us and urge us to sign up or whatever we do? It's ridiculous. Grow up. Well, I could go on and on, but it's enough. You get the picture, friends. A shepherd servant is our life. And I'm praying the Lord will use Psalm 23 to help us come alive with life in serving Him and serving each other. Your Heavenly Father, grant that it may be so among us that this word from You will drop deeply and directly into our hearts, and that You would cause us to respond honestly, truthfully, lovingly, willingly to serve You with all of our hearts and to serve each other with zeal and rejoicing. Lord, we can only pray now. Do the work in our hearts. May it all be for the honor and glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.